Welcome to the Courageous Recovery Broadcast. I'm your host, Randy Mortensen. This is a weekly 20 to 25 minute program where we provide answers for your I don't know how. Whether you're dealing with recovery issues, emotions from a loss, or life has just thrown you one more curveball than you expected, I'm really glad you're here. And today, it's just a huge blessing for me to have as my guest, Luke Dillenberger. He's got a powerful testimony and just some great words of wisdom. And it's always great to see people joining this live broadcast from coast to coast. Thank you for taking time from your busy schedules to connect. You should see a chat box or a subscribe button on whatever channel that you're watching or listening to this on. Please subscribe, leave any notes, leave any comments with any thoughts and input. For more information, you can go to my personal website. That's randymortensen.com. That's Mortensen is M-O-R-T-E-N-S-E-N, randymortensen.com. Later in the show, I'll talk more about the 21-point assessment. That's a tool to determine whether you or a loved one qualifies for one of my programs called the Lifestyle Champion Cohort. So today, as I mentioned, it's just a huge blessing for me to have Luke on my, I'm struggling with my mouse here, to have Luke Dillenberger on with me today. And Luke, my anybody that's listened to my show before knows that my usual first question is, what is there that you know today that you wish your 22-year-old self would have known?
For me, most importantly, and first and foremost, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
At that age, I was very optimistic. I thought that I had the world in the palm of my hand. But at the same time, I thought everything was, you know, just going to be given to me. And the biggest thing was I wanted that instant gratification. I was very big on trying to make a lot of money as quickly as I possibly could. So now if I could, you know, tell my 22-year-old self anything, it would be that nothing worth having comes easily. If you want to be successful, you got to put the work in. There is no such thing as fast money.
Wow. And it's one thing when that comes from a 55-year-old or something like that. This is you telling yourself this 8 years ago.
Yeah, right.
And so there's been a ton of radical changes in your life in the last 8 years.
Yes, eight years feels like a whole lifetime for me at this point.
Okay. All right. And again, anybody that's listened to this program before knows that I started drinking when I was 13. I had my first beer when I was 13. And so share with the listeners where your journey. I think you said before that you probably started drinking when you were 15, but then it accelerated. Give us a little bit of that history, if you would, please.
Sure. Well, similar to you, I can't remember the specific age when I had, you know, my first beer. I know I was rather young, maybe like eighth grade. But when I was around 15, so my sophomore year of high school, was when I started to, get involved in binge drinking on the weekends. So drinking pretty heavily, you know, at least one weekend night out of the week. And then from there, you know, alcohol was really the only thing that I was involved with until my senior year of high school. And there I started, you know, smoking marijuana pretty regularly. I wasn't to the point where I would be smoking before class or going to school, you know, high or anything like that. But that's when I started smoking, and then just the drinking went to, you know, probably Friday and Saturday. So both nights of the weekend now that, you know, I'm a senior in high school. Now, as I got into college, and I played college soccer at a small D3 school in Michigan called Adrian College. I dabbled, so to speak, in different things at this point. The drinking ramped up a ton, even as a college athlete. I was smoking weed on a daily basis, going to class stoned at that point. And then I started dabbling in the opiates and the pain pills here and there, but not to the point where, you know, it was any problem. Or at the time I didn't think.
Yeah.
But from there, you know, I was still successful. You know, I had a basically 4.0 GPA. I was the only freshman on the soccer team to start 16 out of 19 games, second on the team in points. So, you know, I was successful in academics. I was successful on the soccer field. Everything was going well. And then I just, my sophomore year, when I went to go back to school, we got a new coach and we didn't see eye to eye. So I ended up, this long story short, I decided to transfer schools. I took a year and a half off, transferred to a small school in Cincinnati that was starting a new soccer program. And I thought it would be awesome, you know, to be part of a first year program. It was a small Christian school. But anyway, like I said, part of starting a new program, and we were very successful in that first year. We went to the national championship. It was an 8-team tournament. Everything was going well. I wasn't really dabbling or doing any sort of use at that time. I'd still drink and smoke weed, but that was about it. Now, the following year was when things really, you know, went downhill for me. I broke my wrist and had to get a screw input into it, and I blew my knee out within a couple months of each other. Wow. And was heavily prescribed Percocet pain pills for those injuries. And from there, you know, I started using them pretty heavily because within a couple months of that happening, my best friend ended up passing away as well. And then it went from, you know, using it to get rid of the pain physically, to using it for, you know, fun or to feel good, to using it to feel nothing.
Right.
And from that point, it got really out of hand. And it wasn't until about a year later till I realized, you know, I had a problem with those. And so about 2013 is when I started to, you know, try to take the steps to get clean. That was my first attempt.
Were you able to maintain your GPA?
Yeah, actually I was. So
wow.
that first year, I wasn't really doing anything then. I was at all academic America, and I was honorable mention all America, just for the soccer aspect of it.
Okay.
But the following year, you know, when everything started to go downhill, I still was academic All America as far as, you know, the academics go. So, yeah.
Well done.
I don't know how, but I was.
Yeah. Well, and as you said before, what the medical community often doesn't understand is they believe they're prescribing their opioids, right? The opiates. They believe they're doing well by prescribing it for your physical pain. But then what happens is the mental anguish takes over.
Yeah.
And that's when the self-medication, self-prescription takes over, right?
Yeah. I mean, it changes your brain chemistry. And it gets to the point where you don't feel like yourself anymore when you don't have that.
Okay.
So it's I'm not a big fan of the whole pharmaceutical industry as a whole at this point, because they make a lot of money off of prescribing that. And it's not for fixing the root of the problem. It's just for covering it up for a temporary time, but they're so addictive that temporary time's almost impossible.
Yeah. Well, and people who know me realize that I'm a very strong advocate of hemp, CBD.
Yeah. Okay.
With no THC.
Right.
It's important. Because God gave us that green plant intended for good.
Sure.
And yeah. We humans on the face of this earth have figured out how to twist that green plant to produce maximum THC.
Good at that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. But I've seen the miracles come about from hemp oil or CBD from hemp. Yeah. And that's I haven't even said this for a while. It's like 0.003% or something like that.
Right. A very small amount.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a strong advocate of that as well. So yeah. as you were departing university and headed into the business world, was it a major obstacle for you just trying to cut back, or how did you make that transition into leaving school and trying to get a job?
Right. It was rather difficult looking back on it at the time. You know, I felt like I had everything under control. We're very good at telling ourselves what we want to hear. And, you know, the easiest person to lie to is ourselves. So at the time, you know, I thought, I got this under control. I'm doing everything I want to do. I'm a recent college graduate. I have a plan. Everything's, you know, being put into motion. Because I was actually, after I graduated college, my plan was to, and I took the steps to join the Navy.
Okay.
And go, I was planning on, you know, going in as an officer, being that I had a bachelor's degree. And then my plan was to go to law school and have, you know, the Navy pay for it. So I took the steps, you know, I took the ASVAB, I went through their medical process, all of those things. And then what ended up not being able to join for a multitude of reasons. I had multiple infractions as far as driving offenses went. And that all stemmed back to the use. And unfortunately, I ended up not even being able to join because I had too many points against me, even though I didn't have any felonies or anything like that. But, you know, different driving offenses racked up, and I ended up not being able to join. And I had an oops, so to speak, with the mother of my son at this point. And that, you know, put a wrench into things as well. So yeah, it was difficult.
Yeah. Plus you probably had a little bit of physical limitation even with your wrist and your leg and so on, right?
Yeah. Okay. Because of the use, I didn't do what was necessary as far as rehabbing my knee went, even my wrist as well. But my wrist, I was a soccer player. I didn't need my wrist. But even to this day, I don't have, you know, full range of motion and full strength in my wrist, and, you know, still have regular pain in my knee because I didn't do the proper recovery stuff that I should have.
Okay.
Getting injured.
Yeah. So what was the aha moment for you when you said enough? What was that like?
Which time?
Well, it doesn't pick one. It doesn't matter.
I've had multiple, you know, because in this crazy world we live in, you know, there's times where you feel like you have it and then something happens. But my aha moment, more than any, would have been, I know the answer to this too. I was just thinking about it earlier. When basically my wife of 2 years now basically gave me, you know, an ultimatum. And that was something that I never anticipated from her just because of the relationship that we had. but we were getting ready to get married and I needed to get my act together. And she actually put me out of our house. And at that specific time, I knew that she and the life we had was everything that I wanted. And if I didn't, you know, make the change right that moment, everything that I had worked for and everything that I had was gone.
Okay. Okay.
Definitely that.
So it was her response, her reaction. And I want to come back to that in a minute. I want to share a couple of updates for our listeners, but what I'd like you to talk about, Luke, is that young lady whose fiance is struggling today. You know, what would you say to that young lady? Because I think that's valuable just to acknowledge that. So sure. I just want to share that in early January, I'm launching another 8-week program called the Lifestyle Champion Cohort, where we use Zoom technology to do 90-minute weekly meetings. The first 30 minutes is teaching. What's important to realize is that phase one is evaluate. In other words, who are you? Where are you today? And two is equip. We all need tools in order to get clean and sober and then to stay clean and sober. And then phase three is once you've claimed that victory, how do you really enjoy the new life? And for more information on that and to get into our release database, just go ahead and text CHAMPION to 66866. That's CHAMPION to 66866. To see if you qualify for the cohort, just go to my website, randymortenson.com, and download the 21-point assessment. On there, if the results come back that you're a mild or a moderate case of substance use disorder, then you're a good fit for my program. If the results come back and say that you're severe, then I will make an introduction to others in my network that would be a better fit than I am. So again, it's just go to randymortenson.com. There's the 21-point assessment on the front page of the first page of that website. So Luke, let's come back to that person. I'll just say lady, but it could be the person. Sure. It could be the guy. But that person whose fiance is now just not living up to who they say they are. In other words, they're using or right. drinking or whatever. What would you say to that person as far as how do they handle the loved one who's battling?
Sure. First and foremost, that is the hardest position to be in. You know, living it firsthand and seeing, you know, the things that I've not only done to my wife, but you know, how she's reacted. Most importantly, the hardest thing for them to do is going to be the right thing. Their heart and your mind is going to be telling you to do certain things as if your relationship was normal, you know. But unfortunately, if somebody's struggling, if your fiance or significant other is struggling with an addiction or anything, you can't do what you would normally do in a relationship. There's going to be times where, you know, you're driven mad because you want to, you know, continue. You feel like you're giving everything you can to that person. And, you know, you want to continue to show them love and admiration and, you know, all of these things. But us addicts, we do everything in our power to get everything we can out of that individual. And if you continue to, it's not even necessarily aid them, but if, you know, if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. So most yeah. importantly, it's about going against what you would normally want to do for your significant other, because it's going to be more counterproductive. And you're going to feel like the right thing to do is going to feel like it's mean or you're hurting that individual. But in the long run, it's so, so beneficial if you can just cut off the person that you're in love with and their addiction or their other side, because they're not one in the same. And you have to be able to differentiate between the two, because you can't, you know, continue to treat them as if everything is okay, because it's just going to lead you down a path that you don't want to go. And they're just going to continue to get worse and continue to take advantage of you. So basically, long story short, is go against what you would normally want to do in a normal non-addict relationship, because that's the only thing that's going to help them in the long run.
Yeah. And what you'll hear in recovery rooms is love them when they're unlovable. That doesn't mean you should give up on them, but at the same time, self-preservation or self-protection is also vitally important too.
And that's so hard, that, you know, that first part that you said is, you know, you want to, it's hard to even put it to words, because you know, you want to give them, you love them and you want to give them everything that you know they deserve or that you would want. But it's just, I don't know how my wife has done it, honestly. I mean, I've put her through the ringer, and she is the most wonderful woman you'll ever meet.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
I to this day question how, you know, I've been able to keep her around. But yeah, I mean, what it boils down to is just remembering who that person can be and doing everything you can to keep that intact and not lose support of them. And that's the biggest thing I can say Kristen has been able to do, is she never given up.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And we're kind of winding down here, Luke, but this has been words of wisdom. You know, you're at an age now where you've got colleagues, friends, relatives, people you don't even know that are in their 20s, going into their early 30s, that life is hell for many of them. And with this whole COVID thing, there was a lot of pressure before. And now, you know, even somebody as talented as you are with the relocation here to Central Florida, you're struggling. And I mean, you're a brilliant student. Oh, yeah. You're a hard worker. You're a good salesperson. And yet you're having a hard time finding a profession that's a good fit for you. So
relationships
are so vitally important for us to stay clean and sober, right?
Absolutely.
It's all about the people we hang around with, and that's the
spouse. We are who we surround ourselves with.
Right on. I was hoping you would remember that you had said that before, because that's exactly right.
I don't forget that one. That's a life mantra.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me wrap up here. I just want to remind our listeners that overdose deaths have tripled since 1990. Right now, here in the United States, we're seeing just over 130 overdose deaths per day, and it's costing the American economy almost $800 billion annually. So if someone you know is struggling today, or maybe that person's you who's battling a compulsive and destructive behavior, please don't wait another day. You can reach out to me at my office number, which is 321-757-HOPE. That's 321-757-HOPE. Or call someone you know and trust, because the people who are dying today are husbands, wives, sons, and daughters of someone who loves them. Today's the day. As I said, if you're interested in my ebook titled The 5 Common Mistakes When Pursuing Recovery, text CHAMPION to 66866. And Luke, just in closing here, what words of wisdom would you have for our listeners? What words of encouragement? What words of wisdom?
Sure. You never lose hope. I mean, it's a fight for your life. and you can never give up. That's the biggest thing, is having that positive mindset when everything seems to be going against you. You know, we can manifest what we think about.
Right on.
And as long as you continue to fight, no matter what, you'll get out of anything you're in and you'll be successful if you just keep pushing forward.
Right on. Good words. Good words. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you found this information helpful today. You can look for the replay of this to be available in usual podcast online outlets like Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the multitude of channels, and on the Facebook page. I want to say to you, have a blessed day and be extraordinary today.